Come on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, I'm going to quote our founding pastor right here and say this, that if that don't light your fire, your wood's too wet, okay? All right, that is an exciting thing, man. It was a powerful, powerful service. Last weekend, we got to celebrate multiple people going public with their faith. And I'm telling you, I'm getting emotional right now. After the second service, I just broke down in tears because of the reality of what that means to those people, what that means for eternity. I was overwhelmed by my emotion, which I know, if you know me, it's not an uncommon thing, right? You can laugh and all that stuff, but I just was thinking, like, this is it, man. This is the purpose. This is why we do this. This is the whole reason all the effort goes into doing the things that we do. It's not so that people will think our church is cool. It's so that people will encounter the life transformation of the one true living God through his son, Jesus Christ. Come on. So one more time, let's just give it up for those. Congratulations if that was you. Making that public profession of your faith, it was awesome. It was so awesome. Hey, look, as you can tell, we meet in a high school, and they got a musical thing going on, and so we didn't choose that decoration. All right, so if you're tuning in online, you might not be able to see it, but there's just stuff everywhere. It's all in the lobbies and all that kind of stuff, so I appreciate you just being understanding of that. It is a shared space. I also want you to know that they have the rest of their performance is today, right after us. And so we will probably accelerate the takedown efforts a little bit. And I want you to know this, that's a little uncommon. So if you're new here, we are not trying to rush you away, except today. You just maybe a little. That's all, okay? All right. And so I know we want community and we want people hanging out, but just please understand that we're working with our partners, right? We do this, we all share this space, and we're just doing it together. Amen, everybody? Amen. Can I just pray and then we're going to dive right into God's word today? Father, I love you so much. Thank you, Father, for this church, the amazing things that you are doing, Lord God, in and among us. Thank you for all the people, Lord God, that we were able to baptize last Sunday morning. Father, thank you so much for the two services that we are in and the increased attendance that we are seeing as a result of it. Lord God, thank you so much for the way that you are moving in our church. And I just pray that today, God, as we get into the power of your word, I pray that that these people would not hear from me, but rather from the Spirit of the living God. Just allow me to be a speaker, Lord God, just a communicator of the truth, Lord God, that you have spoken into your church. And I pray that today, myself included, all of us would be transformed by your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Hey, it's good to see you at 9 a.m. You're doing awesome. You look really, really good. The energy in the room feels amazing. So let's get into God's word. We are in a sermon series that we're calling See for Yourself, okay? And it comes out of a story in the Gospels. We're going to go to that here in just a moment. And so just so that you know, we're in part number 3, and we're going to get into a little bit of a super important topic today that I think a lot of people have questions about, and we're just going to invite the truth of God's word to speak into our lives. But in this series, here's what we've been saying. We're not trying to prove God to people. We're just inviting people to experience him for themselves, which is exactly what Jesus would do. It was exactly the way that his disciples did it. They just invited pages, I don't know, just come see for yourself. And in part number 1, here's what we talked about. We talked about the reality that God wants to know you. And I think that's pretty exciting. That, like, God always is first and he always goes first. This is why God created you with his hands and breathed into you his life. This is why Jesus came to the earth, born in a manger, died on a cross. This is why the Spirit of the living God takes its residency up in us, followers of Christ Jesus. He always comes to us. Amen. That's good news. That's good news. So it'd be one thing for the preacher to say, you should know God, and I believe that. But it's a whole other thing for the preacher to say, God really wants to know you very personally and very intimately. He very much does. And then last week, we just talked about freedom. Come on, I think. How many of you guys would admit in this room that, like, you need freedom from something? Come on, in this room. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, so there's you and the liar sitting next to you right now. You know what I'm saying? All right, that, like, every single one of us, I love to say it like this. If you don't think you have any issues, that's your issue, okay? Because we all got stuff. And so last Sunday, we just talked about the reality that Jesus wants to set us free. And we asked the question, but, like, yeah, but free from what? Like, what is he trying to set us free from? And here's the answer. The law of the Spirit gives us freedom from the law of sin and death. If you missed it, you can go back and watch it. Today we're going to talk about another subject, but let's start in John chapter 1. We've started here every Sunday. John chapter 1, it's a little bit of a story. Jesus is starting to make his way into his public ministry. He's starting to grab hold of some disciples and just create the movement that would change the world. And so we pick the story up here. that Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." So there's been an encounter. He's excited about it, and he's instantly going to tell people that he cares about, right? This is why we do the same thing as followers of Jesus. I've encountered the hope of Jesus, the life-changing power of him in my life. And then what I do, I mean, because of that enthusiasm, I just want other people to experience it. This is why around here we say, who's your plus one, man? Who do you know that needs the life-changing power of Jesus in your life like you've experienced? And then boom, let's get them into the house of God. Let's get them into a relationship with God. So he's telling all these people, verse 46, so he says, Jesus is from Nazareth. And then verse 46, Nathanael's like, Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? That's like saying like Florida State. Can anything good come out of Florida? We know the answer is no, but this is different because this is Jesus in Nazareth. Y'all with me? Okay, all right. Shots fired. And so he simply says, really the foundational truth that we're trying to present in this series, he simply says, bro, just come see for yourself. I'm not going to prove it to you. I'm not gonna be able to convince you. I can't talk you into this. Why don't you just come and just see for yourself? And then there is a life-changing reality that is experienced. And so I want to talk today. We're going to go a layer deeper. And we're talking about a big old subject that I think matters to a lot of people. We're going to talk about purpose today. We're going to answer the question, what is my purpose? Have you ever asked that question? You ever thought to yourself, man, what is my purpose? What does God want to do with me? Like, what is it? And I think that this is a good question to be asking. I think that it's a question that matters. I think it is a question that we should find the answer to. But I think that in my experience, I get around people and they're just at like, I don't know what my purpose is and what is my purpose? And some people find themselves very fearful because they're like, well, what if I miss it? What if God's like showing me my purpose and I miss it? And I don't know what to do. And like they kind of operate out of this fear that like, I don't want to blow it. And I don't want to mess this up. And so they kind of walk their life in this fear that what if I miss my purpose? I think other people, by the way, find themselves frustrated because they're like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I'm ambitious and I'm willing and I want to do stuff and I don't know what it is to do. And so they find themselves a little bit frustrated because it's like, I want to do the right thing. I just don't know what the right thing is to do. Have you ever felt like either of these, fearful or maybe a little bit frustrated? I think that's a very normal thing to feel, by the way. I also think that when people say purpose, this is what I think you mean. You mean, I want to wake up every single day excited and motivated to go do. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, by the way. How many of you guys know it's awesome when you wake up with motivation? It's awesome when you wake up and you know, like, I'm going to go do something. It's awesome when you wake up and you feel like, hey, I am going to do something today that is purposeful. But we're going to layer up today. We're going to go a little bit higher. I'm going to do my best to take us to a higher level, but then put the cookies on the bottom shelf so everybody can take one. You know what I'm saying? And so at the same time, this is what I'm going to try to achieve when we talk about purpose. But I want to start with those of you that you are fearful. You just, like, you kind of, and you could probably self-identify here that you may operate mostly from a place of fear, worry, concern. Like, you're the parent, right, that when your kid is climbing the tree and they're, like, at branch number three, you're the one that's like, oh, dear God, oh, dear, what if he falls? What if he falls? What if he falls out of the tree? And you wish that you were more like the parent that's like, this is awesome, go, buddy, and they're, like, taking pictures. You know what I'm saying? You know that you lean more to the fear side than you do, like, the I'm not worried about it side. And so if you find yourself in this predicament, like this inner thing where you're just constantly nervous, like, God, I want to make you happy, and God, I want to make sure that I do the things that you're asking me to do, but what if I do the wrong thing? And maybe right now there's like a crossroad in your life. There's a fork in the road where it's like, well, I have a choice, and I can go this way or I can go this way. And God, and you're freaking out because you're afraid that you might choose right instead of left. And what if God wanted me to go left? And we're just going to work on that today. But I want to start here. All right, if you're the one that operates from fear, I want you to take this verse that I'm going to put on the screen, and I want you to just kind of make it yours. Can you do that? And the verse is this, Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. So if you tend to operate fearfully, would you just make this sort of your mantra? You memorize it, write it in lipstick on the mirror, put it on a note in your pocket, set a reminder in your phone to take you to Psalm chapter 34 so that you can be reassured that when you seek the Lord, he does in fact answer you and he will deliver you from all of your fears. Amen. Others of us, we find ourselves like frustrated, like because you're ambitious and you're type A. And you just want to change the world, man. And you're frustrated because you don't feel like you're doing it in the job that you have or in the season of your life. You're a little bit frustrated because you're like, I don't even like what I do. And I don't even want to be here. And you're just thinking, like, I want to do something that matters or that is bigger. And listen, I want to validate all those feelings as real things. But I want to give you a verse. And here's your verse, Psalm 139, 23 through 24. And the Bible says this, King David's praying, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me," that's a dangerous prayer, "test me and know my anxious thoughts." Like, gah, you ever been, gah, you see the frustration? "Know my anxious thoughts and point out anything in me that offends you." And then what? Here we go. "And lead me along the path of everlasting life." God, I'm frustrated. I just want to do the right thing. I'm ready to go. Just here I am, send me kind of a thing. Great. He will lead you into the right pass. I'm just offering these to the fearful and to the frustrated as prayer points, as scripture to memorize, to declare over your life, to accept and walk in by faith in God that he will do these things inside of you. Amen. Can you do it? I'm just trying to be practical and I'm just trying to help you. But the question still remains, yeah, but what is my purpose? What's God want me to do? And I'm going to answer it for all of us. Here we go. To do it, we're going to go all the way back to the beginning. In the first chapter of Scripture, Genesis chapter 1, let's go there. So God has created us, the Bible says. He's created all things. He has spoken everything into existence, and the Bible repetitively says it is good. How many of you know God does good work? Good things, okay? He created this, and he saw that it was good. And he created that, and he saw that it was good. And then the Bible teaches us that he created you and I. And the cool part about that is that he didn't just speak us into existence. I do think this matters. I'm going to slow down here. But the Bible tells us that he actually formed us with his hands. I think that that is indicative of the personal connection that he longs to have with you and I. That it's not just that I could probably just be like, let there be Marcy. Boom. And there she was. And she was good, right? He could have done it. But he formed mankind from the ground. And then the Bible says that he breathes life into them. And in that process, verses 26 and 27 of Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says this. Then God said, I want you to notice the emphasis all over the screen. Let us make human beings, how? In our image, and watch this, to be like us. And just for clarity, who is us? We are seeing the Trinity already being spoken about. The Spirit of God has already been mentioned in prior verses. God is speaking of himself, God the Father. He is speaking of Christ Jesus, God the Son. And he is speaking about his Spirit, the Holy Spirit that resides in every follower of Jesus. And he's saying, let's create man in the image of that to be like us. And they will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and the wild animals on earth, and all the small animals that scurry along the ground. This is why we go fishing and hunting. Amen. All right. Verse 27. And why you have kittens and dogs, right? Same. All right, same. Here we go. Verse 27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Now, just leave that up for me, if you would. In these verses that we've read today, four different times, God emphasizes the exact same thing. That we are created to be image bearers of his and to be like him. So what's my purpose? My purpose is to be an image bearer of God and to be like him. Yeah, but I hate my job. No problem. You can quit that job. You can seek another career path. You could do something different. Yeah, but is that God's purpose for me? Are you bearing the image of God? Are you becoming more and more like him? And if the answer is yes, then you're walking in his purpose for your life. And some of you guys are disappointed because you're like, man, that don't tell me what career to take. And what I'm saying is that the Spirit of the living God will guide you. And there are sometimes I think, can I just talk like practically right here? There are sometimes that I think the Spirit of God that is on the inside of us overwhelmingly makes things obvious that this is what God wants for our lives. Some of us hear a still small voice of the Lord in our spirits because we've been reading his word and walking with him long enough that we actually can sense the voice of the Lord in our lives speaking to us. Hey, I want you to do this or take that role or whatever it might be. Some of us sense like a sense of peace where it's like, I really feel like this is right. I can't explain it. It might not even make the most sense, but it just feels to me like this is what God wants me to do. And we go down that path. And then I think that there are times that we stand at a crossroads and we're like, God, what do I do? God, what do I do? God, what do I do? And I think that God's like, it doesn't matter to me. Do what you want. Go right. Go left. Because I trust you. I think there are times that God is like, it's up to you, bud. Just do what you want to do because I know that you will honor me everywhere that you go, that you will bear my image on either decision, that you are becoming more and more like me all of the time. So go fulfill your purpose and just choose your path. So there are practical ways that we can walk this thing out. And sometimes we know God has spoken. And sometimes I think when we don't know, like, God, what are you saying? Maybe God, the good father and the good shepherd, is saying, we can take either trail where you want to go. I'll go with you. Because listen, any parent in the room knows that there are times that you do that, right? Imagine the time that you went to the store and you're getting ready for school and your kid gets to buy a backpack and a lunchbox and pencils and shoes and a new shirt and whatever you do. And then you go into the store and all you know is you got a budget. That's what you know because you're mom and you're smart. You're like, I got a budget. And when you go into the store and then Johnny's standing there, he's like, man, I really like those red ones. Those red ones are awesome. Those things would be super cool right there. But I don't know, man. Those blue ones are pretty sweet. I don't know which ones I should do. I got more red shirts and blue shirts. And we all know that you should color coordinate, of course. And so what do I do? What do I do? And how many of you guys have been like, doesn't matter. You want the red ones? Buy the red ones. You want the blue ones? Buy the blue ones. What difference does it make to you? Because I can afford either pair, bud. So whichever ones you like, just get them and we'll be happy about it, right? Come on, right? Sometimes with our kids, we just say, well, you decide. And the older they get, the more you want that. Please make some decisions. Please, dear God, cook your own food or something. You know, come on. We all been there. The idea of purpose, I think the enemy hijacks from us all the time. And we're going to go deeper into this, by the way. But the big idea of purpose is that you can fulfill the purpose of God anywhere you go in anything that you do. Am I bearing his image? Am I becoming like him? And if those things are happening, then he will always direct you in the path of life. He will always lead you and give you confidence. And by the way, I think when you are doing those things, you can endure any difficulty and any hardship. And so what's my purpose? It's to bear the image of God. It is to be like him, which, by the way, is why Church on the Rock keeps an emphasis on reaching our plus ones. One more. Why? Because I have found the source of life, and his name is Jesus. And because of him, I have a loving, good, heavenly Father. And because of him, I have the living Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of me that leads me into all the paths of my life, that comforts me, that corrects me. Come on, the Spirit of God convicts us of sin, the Bible says. And he is the Spirit of God that causes me to pivot and to move into the image and the likeness of God. And because of all those things that I have experienced, I am like the one that's like, bro, you just got to come see for yourself, which is why we are in two services now, not just one anymore, because we needed room for your plus ones, for your coworkers and your family members that have not found the hope that we have found. Amen. One more verse to reiterate my point, and then we're going to dig a little deeper. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 7 says this, to all who claim me as their God will come, for I have made them for my glory. And it was I who created them. This is why no matter who we are, what we do, if things are up or down, we can bring glory to God. Purpose is not found in what we do, It is found in who we become. It isn't found in what we do. It is found in who we become, to become the image bearers of Christ. All right, so I want to take us deeper this morning. Earlier, a couple of weeks ago, I listened to a lot of podcasts, sermons. I'm an audiobook guy. Thank God for audiobooks. Otherwise, I would still be operating at like a third grade level. I can read, but I'm better if I hear it. Somehow I retain information. And so I spend enormous amounts of my time just listening to stuff. So I might be tinkering in the garage or driving down the road or whatever, doing a project at the house, whatever it is. And I'm just constantly taking in content. I'm trying to grow in my relationship with God. It's part of how I become more like Him, and it's better how I increase in His imagery, because it's like, just teach me God's word and teach me God's truths. And so recently I was listening to a podcast, and there was a statement made that at first listen, I'm like, wait, what? And then after the speaker began to unpack this, I began to make a little bit more sense of it. And here, it's a quote from Dr. John Piper, and it says this, that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. God is most glorified in us, which is our purpose, when we are most satisfied in Him. Let's unpack that a little bit. Because if you and I find our greatest satisfaction from our career, it diminishes God's glory in us. If we find our greatest satisfaction in our families, it diminishes God's glory in us. In other words, anything that I find the greatest amount of satisfaction in that is not God Himself diminishes God's glory in me. Some of us find our greatest satisfaction in us. Being satisfied, happy, and full. And some of us find our greatest satisfaction in our boat, or our hobbies, or our things. Come on, let me make it personal. In chasing the whitetail buck deer. Come on, say amen. And God is not against your family. And God is not against your career. God is not against deer hunting, fishing, boats, etc. You fill in the blanks. Here is what God does not stand for, is anything higher than Him in the life of those that have committed themselves to Him. And so the reason that the next kill doesn't fully satisfy is because I don't have Him higher than that. The reason that the promotion and the extra money didn't give me what I thought it was going to give me is because I have my satisfaction in the wrong place potentially. The reason that the next relationship didn't work for you and you just thought she was the perfect, like, dang, she's got it all, and then you found out she was psycho. And you're like, I thought this was it, man. I thought this was it. And she keyed my truck. I don't know, man. That would be pretty radical. I just made that up. I have not experienced this, by the way. But you keep looking for your satisfaction in some wrong places. And if I want to fulfill the purpose of God in my life, then I have to glorify Him above all things. And when we can get that mindset switched, and when we can make that change and say, God, I value You above everything else, then He is most glorified in us. And ironically, we become most satisfied. Right. Which is why you can have the worst of situations going on around you, but if God is the highest place in your life, there's like this unexplainable peace that will follow, because I maybe you can't explain it, you don't understand it, but you're like, it doesn't make logical sense, but I'm okay because I know where God wants me to be because I trust Him more than anything. Amen. And so I think there are two great enemies to purpose. And I think this is the enemy's deception to our lives that he uses against us finding the fulfillment that we are looking for in the purpose of God for our lives. Number one is pain, and number two is pleasure. So let's just talk about those a little bit. Pain. I think that many of us oftentimes, we find ourselves in these spots in life where things just aren't going the way we would like them to go. We find ourselves in pain. And there's a myth that I'm going to preach against right now. And the myth is this, that if I give my life to Christ Jesus and I do the stuff that church people do, I go to church every Sunday, I'm in a life group, I serve, I give, I do all the stuff that I should do, then the reward to me is cotton candy and rainbows. Everything is awesome. And that's a myth, man. And I love you enough to tell you that if that is the expectation you have on your walk in faith, you will be frustrated and disappointed. And when you find pain points in your life, you will then turn your frustration toward him, because you will say, look at all the stuff I'm doing. And look at all the things, man. I go to church every Sunday and it was beautiful today. I could have had the boat in the water and I was here and I, but whatever it is. And the enemy will deceive our hearts into thinking that somehow God has abandoned us because we're experiencing pain in our lives, which does not always mean I'm not walking in purpose. I'll tell a very quick story. Many of you have heard it, so roll your eyes, and then the rest of you that haven't heard it, enjoy, okay? I remember a season in our lives, Lauren and I. This was after God had called us into the pastoral leadership of this church. And in those days, it was a lot different than we kind of know it and see it today. In those days, there was very, very small budget, very, very small attendance, which is different, right? And so in order for me to eat and feed my family, I had to have a completely different job. And then on Sundays, I would just roll in here and just do my best to just preach, man. And there's a lot of pastors that do that their whole lives, quite frankly. And they're heroes in the faith, man, because that's a whole balancing act that's super tough. And so I was in this line of work that was paying the bills. The lights were on and the mortgage was paid and we were buying groceries and things were okay. And we weren't certainly getting rich, but we were making the ends meet and we were good to go. And the job that I had, I didn't love it. I did not love it, okay? I was just doing, come on, like, don't raise your hand, but how many times you've done a job, you're like, whatever, man, I don't like this, but it pays me. You know what I'm saying? And so I was just in this work. And I remember, so we would travel, and there were times that I'd be in, like a carpool scenario, best way to describe it. And I would do like message preparation and stuff in the backseat of the truck sometimes. I'd have my Bible and notes and just whatever. And I'd just do my best to, like, I got to get prepared for Sunday. And I stayed in hotel rooms all the time because I'd work out of town. And I'd be in that hotel room late at night and just whatever it was. And I'll never forget that I felt the strong leading of the Lord that I could not explain. And here's what I felt like the Lord said, okay? I never heard like his voice or words, but I knew. It's just one of those, I mean, I just knew what God was leading me to do. And here's what essentially the Lord spoke into my heart. He said, Josh, I want you to host a prayer service at the church on Wednesday nights from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And I'm like, okay, Lord, that's a problem. That's a problem because I'm never in town on a Wednesday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Work makes me go through Monday through Friday. I am gone. And I just knew that I'd heard from the Lord without question in my mind. Our church was born in 1992 as a result of fasting and prayer. On our first building the church ever had, it literally said, a sign on the building, a house of prayer. Our church had always hosted prayer services, always. And in this season, because of the transition and the stuff that was going on, there was not a prayer service being held. And I knew, like, that's not even the culture of our church. Like, this church is about prayer, calling on God. The only reason I am your pastor, should you consider me that, is from a season of fasting and prayer. I reluctantly said yes to a fast. Thank you, Jamie and Derek. And God changed my life. Changed it. I'm still not over it. Don't plan to. Just altered me on the inside forever. And thus, later in time, I would become the pastor of our church. And so here I am in this job,
And I overwhelmingly sensed the Lord say, have a prayer service, Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And I said, yes, Lord. And left my job and then went through the most difficult financial season of my life. And the way Lauren and I started our family, by the way, and we won't get into it, I didn't think it could get worse. It could. And you would think that I would say, God, you said that I should quit this job and be faithful and do this prayer service. And now I am struggling to make the ends meet, foreclosure papers on our multiple times, I don't know, a lot of times. Difficult decisions in our household, like light bill, groceries, whatever it was. And I had a choice in that season to say, God, how dare you? I was obedient to you, and look at me now. Look at me now. I can't believe that you, God, would do this to me. Now, that would be one approach that I could take, but it would be stupid. Amen. And the reason that it would be stupid is because I might have this attitude that says, God, I deserve good things because I was obedient to you, which in reality, bottom line truth, if God didn't have love and tender mercy and all that stuff, he would say, what you deserve, son, is hell for your sins, and I gave you Jesus. So don't be fair. Let's don't do the fair thing, Josh. I don't think that's a good idea. And we walked through that season because we knew that God had spoken, and we had a prayer service, and people came sometimes, and I was there by myself sometimes, and eventually it just turned into a thing where, like, now when we do seasons of prayer for 21 straight days, hundreds of people come. And every Tuesday morning, by the way, at 7 a.m., dozens of people come and pray with us. And we have a staff now of 10 full-time people. And here's the point of all that, is when I look back, I say that was all purposeful. The purpose was actually in my pain. And so it's a whole different thing, which gives me a different level, if you can imagine, of appreciation for you, for our team, for the reality of what God has done in our church and our budget. And we give to world missions and outreach and local charities. We give more now than our entire annual budget was then, by a lot. How do you do that? Because we just walked in purpose. Because even in those difficult seasons, I knew, God, this is what you've called me to do. So I will just do my best to glorify you in my pain. And I'll do everything I can to be more and more and more like you. Which is why, by the way, even when we couldn't afford to pay every single bill every single month, we never stopped returning the first fruits of our tithes into this storehouse. Not one time. Why? Because, God, I will glorify you above all things, even lights and air conditioning, or food if that's what it comes to, or my actual home if they take it. I will glorify you above all things. And I'm not saying that for pats on the back. What I'm saying is that some of you need that challenge because you have other things higher than him, and you are glorifying them more than him, and it is robbing your satisfaction because you're disconnected from purpose. Amen. Pain can steal from us the purpose of God in our lives. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says this. This is a tough one, man. He says, just count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into trials of various kinds. He's like, hey, you having a hard time? Awesome. Woohoo! I mean, dang. That's exactly what James just said to us. And he said, because you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. In other words, it's doing something in you. And watch what it says. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking what? Nothing. So even in our pain, we can walk in purpose. We can glorify our God because, God, I will be like you and I will glorify you above all things. I will do everything in my power to be the image bearer that you have called me to be. The other thing that can be a thief of our purpose is pleasure. And this can be a tough one because sometimes it's the gifts of God that can take our attention off the giver of those gifts. I actually think that some of the most difficult people to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ are the people that they have the house, the career, great family. They've got the vacations and the stuff, and they're just doing great. And you see them, and you're like, these people seem like they have everything. They have it all together. They seem happy all the time, you know. And then you're trying to somehow communicate to them that, like, that's all good and well, but, like, you need Jesus. And, like, why do I need Jesus? I'm doing awesome. And what happens is that God will sometimes, will sometimes put scales on our eyes not to see eternal things, but to only see temporal things. And so it's like, how do you tell somebody that seems to have everything that, like, you still have a great need in your life? It's a tough thing, which is why we shouldn't maybe try to prove God, but we should just say, just come and just see for yourself that he's good and that he's loving and that he's awesome and he's favored your life. And so I think there are times in our lives that we can just, the pleasures of life can pull us away from purpose. And look, I'm really quickly, okay, as we close. I could just give you countless examples of some of the pleasures of life that God has entrusted to us. Countless. Like my mom. We'll start there. This lady is like the greatest mom ever. World class. Best person. And on the awful day that she leaves this life and goes to be with Jesus, even if you don't know her, you're going to be a little sad that day. You're going to wonder, like, what's going on? That's it. I'm telling you. How lucky am I? Not everybody has a good mom. I do. It's awesome. I have friends. You're one of them. This is one of my closest, truly, one of my closest friends right here. I mean, I could point around this room. I'm so overwhelmingly blessed with just people that they just love me more than they should. They do. I mean, I could call and say, bro, I'm stuck in the woods. I need you to come pull me out. Here come Aaron and his fit. I'm coming, buddy. It would not go well. But he'd come if I called him. I know he would. I mean, I'm so fortunate, and I'm so blessed. I mean, I've got these friendships and these people that it's, and I could do the dumbest thing and just so many. I could just pick up the phone and be like, I've messed up. And they would come running. Hey, we got your back, man. Let's pray for you. Let's help you. It's awesome. My kids, my kids are awesome. If you ever met them, you'd be like, yep. I'm getting emotional just because the realization of how good I have it. But I have great kids. They're healthy. They're like productive human beings. You know, they do stuff in the world and makes it better. I have a granddaughter now. She's perfect. Everything about her, she's perfect. And it's all, I mean, it's great. I'm so blessed. But then I have Lauren, okay? And after all that explanation of all those great people, she no offense, she's the best, okay? My favorite. I love her more than you. Don't take that personally. I just do, right? We have a great marriage. You know, an awesome story. All those kids are ours. We did it together. I thought that would be funnier. We'll scratch that from service too. There's this thing, and I know this sounds crazy, and I don't, you know, if your marriage isn't great, I don't mean to, like, I'm not trying to gloat or whatever. But what a pleasure. What a blessing, what favor from the Lord to me. And I have to willfully choose God over her. It's an intentional thing that has to happen, because I would just give it all the attention and energy and just everything, all to you. And I have to make sure that it's like, yeah, but I have to honor God above all things and all people and all situations. Amen. I have to do that in ministry. I know that you guys think that because I'm a pastor, I just wake up and I'm like Emmett from the Lego movie. Everything is awesome. Like, I know that that's what you think, but I have difficult days too, and not everything about this is great. There are certain things you just got to kind of suck it up and do it. That's just every job in the world, because we live in a fallen, sinful reality. But I have to be careful. The pleasure of leading this church, which is a super joy, I have to be careful to make sure that I don't let like ministry or the systems and the organization. Like, I heard a pastor say it like this one time in a difficult season of his ministry. I'll never forget his words. He said, "The pace at which I am doing God's work is destroying God's work in me." And I thought, oh, I can resonate with that. Because I can get so focused on doing ministry that, like, God's somewhere else. And you're like, oh, I know. It's like a real thing. And I have to say, Lord God, it's got to be about you. It can't be about the size of our church or reach or discipleship. All that stuff is the result of being your image bearer. It's the result of being like you. It isn't the point. It's the result. Because God, if I lost everything, if I lost these great friends and I lost this world-class church, if I lost that amazing woman, if my mom, you know, whatever. God, if all that was gone, would I still glorify you above all things so that I would be most satisfied? Because if I misorder any of that stuff, I am not in the purpose of God for my life. And so as we close, we'll close with this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. The Bible says this. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing a letter. And this is such a heartbreaking truth out of Scripture. He says, "Demas has deserted me." Watch this. "Because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus has gone to Dalmatia to get a spotted dog." I'm just kidding. I just always think that every time I read that verse. And here's the question. Here's the question. Because for some of you, the distraction of purpose for you is pain. And for some of you, the distraction of purpose for you is pleasure. And here's the challenging question as we get ready to respond to the gospel. Is this, is there anything in my life that I am exalting, glorifying greater than him? What is it? What am I going to do about it? And that doesn't mean you got to sell the boat, you know, whatever. But maybe that's what God would say. It's just too much a distraction for you. Do you love me enough to lay that on the altar? I don't know. I'm not encouraging you to do that. I'm not the Holy Spirit. You listen to him. But pain and pleasure can be enemies to our purpose. But God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. With every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to get ready to respond to the gospel this morning. I want to invite you right now, maybe you're in this room or you're tuning in online and you just never made a decision to surrender your life to the hands of a loving Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. And if that's you, I would just love to invite you to come and just, man, just make that decision right now. Come see for yourself that he is good. He's a good shepherd. He's a good father. He wants good things for you, no matter what you're going through. He has a purpose for your life. And quite frankly, you'll never find that purpose until you have found him. And so if that's you, with, again, every head bowed, every eye closed, I would just love to invite you to repeat a very simple prayer. We always say it every Sunday morning here. It's not special. What matters is what's happening inside of your heart right now. And so here's our prayer. I just want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hey, would you stand to your feet and give a congratulations? Come on, we can do better than that 9 a.m. Come on, give a congratulations to those that may have made that declaration of faith right now in this moment.